Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Excuses Department here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, this is the time of year when we begin to see tourists here in our fair city, and even though we move the garage like every 2 weeks to avoid the Internal Revenue Service, people find us nevertheless, and they always come into the garage, and I know who they are. They have the cameras around their necks, and I go over and greet them. And
they don't have a car.
They don't have a car. They're not driving it either. I go to meet them, and I introduce myself. Hi, I'm Ray. You know, welcome to the garage and our fair city. And after noticing the look of disappointment on their faces, they inevitably ask for Tom because they figure, geez, he's got to look better than this guy.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
And because my brother's never there, I feel compelled to make up some excuse. So I would say something like, he's just gone out for coffee. You missed him.
Just missed him. Yeah.
And at which point, most people say, we'd love a cup of coffee. Where did he go? We'll meet him there. So that doesn't work. So then I say, well, you're not going to believe this. He just stepped into the bathroom. How long could he be? I said, well, you know, he did take in the complete works of Honoré de Balzac, so he may be tied up for a while. We'll wait. Well, then I started to use the excuse, it's his day off. I figure that's good, right?
That'll get you out of trouble.
We'll be in town all week. We'll come back tomorrow. And I'm getting sick of making these excuses. I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it. It's wearing me down.
So what do you propose?
I'm going to tell everyone you're dead. I'm going to say to everyone he ate a kielbasa bomb off the coffee truck yesterday.
And
we found him dead at the kitchen table, and that's it. Don't ask for him anymore. He's not here. Yeah. It's brutal.
Well, I know it's difficult. I'm sorry that it has to happen.
Well,
I'm sorry that you have to be the
front. There should be a designated day where you show up at the shop and just hang around. Or maybe we could do a cardboard cutout. People probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to...
Well, thanks for covering for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Get out of the bathroom. If you want to talk to us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Catherine calling from Auburn, California.
California. Catherine with a K.
Catherine with a C.
Whoa!
Yeah!
Excellent!
Thank you. I like it.
Where are you really from?
From California.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. My theory's
wrong.
Tommy's
got a problem here.
My theory's wrong?
This is what happened. This is what happened to that Newton guy. You know, the apple falling from the tree. He had it all figured out, man.
He had it all figured out, and then Einstein came along.
Yeah. It said, well, what about...
Jeez, I wish you hadn't asked that question.
So anyway, Catherine, what's
my theory, Catherine, was that Catherine with a C only, all right, I guess now I have to change it to predominantly, comes from people who live mostly on the East Coast.
Mm.
And everyone west of, like, Worcester, Massachusetts, spells Catherine with a K.
Uh-huh.
Well, your folks were obviously Easterners, huh?
They must
actually
have been.
My grandfather was from Worcester.
There you go. The line of demarcation.
Right on the border. Can you believe it?
It works.
And you must have been named after one of his aunts.
Probably so.
Of course. See, I'm never wrong.
Jeez. Thank God one of us is on the ball.
Oh, my goodness.
So what's going on, Catherine?
Well, I have a 1985 Toyota pickup truck, which has been one of the best investments and greatest joys in my life.
Great.
Really?
Yeah. Nice.
I bought it from a friend of a friend. It was up on blocks, and it was for $500.
Oh.
Yeah. And it runs perfectly. I have about 208,000 miles on it right now. Except when the weather gets about high 80s, 90s, right around there,
mm-hmm.
it gets really hot. I could drive around, it would be completely fine. And then inconsistently, when I turn it off, run into the store and get a loaf of bread and come back out.
It won't start.
Nothing. The batteries work, the lights go on, everything's fine, but no click.
Oh, no
nothing.
Crank.
Oh, no crank 'em.
Yeah, nothing.
Oh, this is easy.
But I can leave it there. I've learned how just to leave the truck there now. Come back later at night, turn it on, and it works fine.
How many parking tickets do you get while this happens?
I live out in the country.
Oh, there are no parking meters.
Yeah, that's kind of nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
It's your starter motor.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Toyotas are famous for this.
Really?
Starter motor heats up, and as you know from your high school physics course,
yes.
Resistance goes way up when wires get hot.
Okay.
And when resistance goes up, the
In fact, the resistance in this case goes up to infinity. Because it's actually,
they have an open circuit.
Exactly. There's an open circuit in the solenoid, and when it cools off, it works again. Okay. You could try this.
Oh, of course. You're in the store anyway.
Buy a
bottle of cold water.
Bag of ice.
Seriously.
Apply it to the forehead of the starter. Actually, you can see the starter motor in this thing if you follow the positive battery cable.
Yeah.
It goes right down to that big cylindrical thing.
It takes you right to the starter motor.
Yeah, okay.
And take that bag of ice and apply it to the... Right. Or you could just pour cold water on the starter.
And you will immediately crack the housing.
Yeah.
That's all right.
But that's all right. You need a new one anyway.
Appreciate it.
Put a new starter in and you'll have another 208,000 carefree miles.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
See you, Catherine.
That's easy.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for giving us an easy question to answer.
Well, thank you for an easy answer.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Boy, we should be ticked when it's wrong. Bye, Catherine.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Tom. I'm from Sebastopol, California.
Hi, Tom.
How are you doing?
Sebastopol?
Pole. Yeah. Sebastopol.
It's about an hour north of San Francisco.
Oh, yeah?
And my question is, I think, a little bit different. It's not of a mechanical nature.
Good. We're sick of those anyway.
About 2 weeks ago, I started selling cars. I've never sold cars before.
Oh, you buy the white shoes and the belt?
Well, that's what I'm concerned about. Like, so far, I'm still myself, but I'm concerned that I'm going to start slicking back my hair and things like that.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd call you guys and get some advice.
Yeah.
Well, you know what the advice is. I mean, you probably have done this already. Have you engaged a psychotherapist? Because you're
not
going.
Yet, no.
Do you have any pictures of Pat Riley hanging up in your house?
Who's Pat Riley?
You know, I was wondering if you might be able to tell me where I could get some of them.
Oh, the guy that looks like Michael Douglas?
Yeah, but better.
Better, yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Well,
no,
that's...
but you're about to lose your every friend you've ever had.
Well, you'll lose them one by one as you sell them cars.
Right.
No, and as they begin to find out what it is that you're doing for a living, one by one, you know...
And how it has changed you.
Not only will you lose all the friends that you had, but when any opportunity to meet new friends, when they say, hi, what do you do? It's almost as bad as saying you're a lawyer.
Well, that's what I was afraid of, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a car salesman. So you have to learn to live alone.
Uh-huh.
You'll have to learn
solitude. The more important question is, are you making a lot of money doing this?
Well, not yet. I've been doing it 2 weeks, and I'm not making a whole lot.
But do you think you will?
I think I may.
Yeah, well,
then money can buy friends.
Yeah, you don't need those friends. Exactly.
You can buy other friends then with the money. You'll have to. I mean, you'll have to like give them free cars and drive them around, or give them expensive gifts, and then you'll get people who hang around with you. It's sort of like my brother when he was a little kid. We had to hang a pork chop around his neck so the dog would play with him. You may have to do the same thing.
Hang a pork chop around my neck?
Yeah.
Well, that's only if you want the dog to play with you. But this is indeed a moral dilemma.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So why, pray tell, did you decide to go into this line of work? You couldn't get into law school?
Yeah, I couldn't get into law school.
Oh, and you flunked the LSATs.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that would do it.
Well, this is on the recommended things to do if you fail, the LSATs, right?
But car salesmen and used car salesmen are way, way down there on the list of people that the average person would trust. You know that.
Whatever you do, don't buy the white shoes and the belt.
Then you know you're done for.
Then you're done for, yeah.
I'll write that and frame it on my wall.
Wear flannel shirts. Do something different.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Chip.
Chip. From where, Chip?
From New Jersey. Somerville, New Jersey.
Chip, huh? Chip. I'm trying to say this nicely, but how does one get a name like Chip?
I know how.
How?
What?
Because your other name is so bad that you'll use Chip.
I mean, what is your real name, Chip? You don't have... Why not? You can tell us.
Yeah, okay.
We don't know who you are. You don't know us. We don't know you.
It's Holman Dean Pettibone III.
Okay, Chip
okay,
is great.
Chip. What can we do for you?
That confirms what you
think. It does indeed.
I'm going to change mine, too. I want a name like that.
Flip, I think. You'd be a good Flip. Like Flip O'Neill, right? Or that Tip O'Neill. I don't know.
That's
anyway.
Chip O'Neill. Come on, the guy's got problems here, and you're joking around.
I'm sorry. What's
Chip,
up,
what's
Chip?
Up?
Well, I need your help. I need advice on how to deal with my neighbors.
Oh, my brother's good at this.
No, my brother's good.
I'll tell you, just as a little preface, I don't have neighbors anymore.
The first thing you need is a large dog.
My neighbors, one by one, have moved away, and all the houses have laid empty because when the real estate people show up.
Do you remember that scene in Gone with the Wind when they went back to Tara? Yeah. After the fires and the rest.
Street. That's what
his
street. All right, so.
Okay, well, here's the problem I have.
Yeah.
We're in a townhouse, so our neighbors are in pretty close quarters.
Yeah.
And there's a parking lot right out front.
Yeah.
And they have an annoying habit. Every morning before they go to work.
I got it.
There's two of them. They go out and turn on the car, start the car.
And all the fumes come in your bedroom window.
Well, yeah, that's not the real problem.
Oh.
That does happen later. They warm it up for about 20 minutes every morning.
Oh, geez, really?
So what I'm looking for is a diplomatic way to tell them that warming
up.
Like
a cherry bomb
minutes.
Up the tailpipe. Is that did I get that wrong? That's not diplomatic enough.
It's to the point.
I did flunk that course, diplomacy. Tailpipe diplomacy,
right.
They call it.
Right, gunboat diplomacy, they call it.
I mean, are you on speaking terms with these deadbeats?
Oh, yes, they're friends of ours.
Oh.
I can tell them anything, except I haven't felt like I can tell
so
them.
So you consider this would be kind of like a personal affront.
Yeah, I mean, it's really annoying to us because often I will wake up because, you know, they do this in winter and summer, so in summer our windows
are open. What is it that actually bothers you? The noise? The fumes? What?
The noise, mainly.
Sure.
And then sometimes they'll leave the door open so you hear the chime going on.
Oh, right. It could be worse. They could have a Nissan that says, your key is in the ignition. Your key is in the ignition.
Yeah. It could be worse. Our show could be on.
Fortunately, they don't have that. But then, yes, like this morning, they warmed it up, and I was downstairs with the baby. We had this front door open with a screen door, and the fumes were coming in, so I had to close the door. I've timed this up to 23 minutes. It's usually about 15, 20.
Well, I mean, we could take the rational approach, which is that they truly are doing damage to the car.
Well, is that true?
Yes, and I think you should take the... In many cases, I'm an expert on interpersonal relationships. Here's what you do. You grab them by the throat. They look stupid.
They're stupid.
No, the manner in which a point is driven home is very important. And,
yes.
And if you do it in a condescending manner,
right.
Then it's going to be confrontational.
I didn't want to tell them it was really annoying us, you know. Or I wanted to say, you know, you kind of
I got it.
Your car.
I've got it.
I know.
You have
answer.
To emerge from the house every morning wearing a gas mask. No, the subtle hints will work.
Yeah.
True. That might work. And they ask you, why are you doing this? You say, no reason.
Well, actually, here's what you do. You go out the night. Are they parked on the street or in the parking lot of the townhouse?
Parking lot of the town, right out front.
Right out front of you.
Forget about the cherry bomb in the tailpipe. That was gauche of me.
No, I wouldn't forget that
yet. I would take rolled up newspaper and throw it underneath the car in the area of the catalytic converter.
Oh, you are a vindictive, nasty sort, aren't you?
And I mean, I don't see how 15 or 20 minutes could elapse before that thing just burst into flame. And if you're afraid to do this yourself.
Have your wife do it.
I can get Bugsy to send Nunzio over. Nunzio does this for $100. A car. It'll be $200. But maybe there's a package deal. $150. They're close by.
No, I would seriously. Now, we've had...
All right, enough of this faulty roll. Let's get right down to it. Let's get back to the cherry bomb idea.
What is wrong with doing that? I know there must be something wrong with warming up.
Well, we were discussing this just the other day in the offices of Dewey Cheatham & Howe, as a matter of fact.
Yes, we were. You call that.
And in years past, when cars had chokes, it was bad because the choke would be on for a long period of time because the choke wouldn't release by itself. And the thing would fast idle, and it would run with a very rich mixture, which would wash down the cylinder walls to overload the converter, et cetera, and dilute the motor oil. But modern cars that have fuel injection, like both of their cars do, the thing doesn't fast idle excessively.
Right.
It doesn't really spew out awful stuff. It isn't any worse than what's happening when the thing is being driven. Unfortunately, it's near your window.
Right.
So they're not doing damage to the engine per se, but they are wasting fuel and doing damage to the environment.
Right.
So that's the argument that I would use. I mean, why waste the fuel?
I don't think it's going to work.
And then
if they must have already thought of that. They think they have to do this for some reason.
Well, they must have some reason for doing it. I mean, even in Somerville, New Jersey, it's not 30 degrees anymore.
No.
Why would they do this today, in fact?
You know why? Because someone's daddy taught him or her to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so one of them, either the husband has convinced the wife or vice versa, that this is the right thing to do. I mean, the question is, how can we, even if we convinced one of them that it's not true, how can we get them to actually act on it? I'm not sure how to do this.
Well,
we need a psychologist.
Some article you had that, you know.
Wouldn't that be great? Like an article, yeah. Maybe we have written a short monograph.
I've got it. I'm sure that this issue is covered in our mediocre book.
No, it may not be, but it's probably in our column someplace.
No, he's not going to pay any money for the column. He's going to go buy the newspaper. This way he's going to buy a copy of the book.
Right, buy the book first. If you don't find
the book, find the right, the appropriate paragraph, mark it with highlighter, and send it to them as a gift.
Right, but just to be honestly, on the... Yes, yes.
That's what I would do, and we would make a couple of bucks out of it.
Friendly gesture, but just to be on the safe side, I'd get a few cherry bombs.
Good luck, Chip.
All right, thanks
very
much.
Or is it Holen Roland III?
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Now, before we give the answer to last week's puzzle, we have to take a short break.
Yeah, so what? You can collect your thoughts?
Collect them. I haven't even billed for them yet.
We'll be right back.
Out there on the highway, out there on the open road. Ooh, baby, will you roll with me, head down to New Orleans. I should be wearing out the black top, out there with the boys I love. Everybody, will you roll with me, running down the street.
And even though a few more of the world's last functioning radio tubes crack whenever we say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzle, and here it is.
Yeah.
Imagine, if you will, a long, long freight train. You know, like the kind you always see out west.
Yeah.
You know,
750
cars. You can spend your entire vacation. That's why people get killed by those trains, because if you get stuck waiting for one, you could spend a half a lifetime.
And it's worth shortening your life.
It's worth it.
To take a shot at it.
Anyway, imagine this. It pulls into the train yard and it stops so that the train workers can go for a haircut or something. I don't know. Train stop for no apparent reason, as we all know.
Yeah.
Anyway, they get back in. The engineer opens the throttle and the train starts to pull away from the yard. As it begins to pull away, somebody realizes that the caboose has a problem. No coffee. No, the brake is frozen on one of the wheels, and the wheel is being dragged along, and there are sparks and smoke and all kinds of nasty stuff. And someone standing on the, you know, on the yard, the train yard, manages to signal to the engineer, and he stops the train.
Yeah.
Well, they can't fix it, so they decide to just uncouple the caboose. So they remove it, and they give the engineer the go-ahead. Go ahead, they say. He gives it the throttle. The train doesn't move. He gives it more throttle. Still doesn't move. In fact, the wheels are spinning.
On the engine.
Well, the other wheels aren't spinning because what?
They're just sitting there.
They ain't moving.
No.
Now, there's nothing wrong with any of the remaining cars, and there's nothing wrong with the engine. But there is something wrong with the engineer. The question is, what's happening here, baby?
Yeah. Actually, didn't we use this puzzle once before?
No, I don't think so.
I think you did.
Long time ago, baby.
Long time ago, yeah.
How long?
2 weeks. Yeah. Well, give us the answer, oh great wise one. See, the only reason you knew the answer was because you used the spoon before.
Well, I thought I had disguised it sufficiently.
Well, you did.
When a locomotive is pulling cars, each car is attached to the one in front of it and behind it by a coupling. But the couplings aren't rigid. They're, in fact, sloppy. Mm-hmm. So that when the train stopped and started to go, you didn't realize that something had happened before that. When a train, a long freight train, pulls into a yard, before it takes off, it will frequently back up to compress all the couplings. And then when it takes off, one car at a time begins to move. And it's quite a while, in fact, before the caboose begins to move. But in this situation, the train was stopped. He did that backing up thing. I failed to mention that in the statement of the puzzler.
Another form of obfuscation, and nicely done, I thought.
The train is halted because the brake is stuck. And because it's stuck, the caboose is, in a sense, pulling the train from the other end. So now all the couplings are all stretched out.
Yeah.
They remove the caboose, but the guy doesn't back up.
Right.
They give him the go-ahead. He says, okay, I'll go ahead.
So now he's going to pull all 750 cars
at once. He's going to try to move the last car while he's trying to move the first car, and the train is just too heavy, and he doesn't have enough friction between the wheels and the track.
So a train can't really pull from a dead stop all the cars that you see behind it. Sometimes.
If it's long enough, it can't do it.
It can't do it. So the little engine that couldn't do it. Simple as that.
Couldn't do it. You have to apply the rules of incrementalism.
Right.
You have to pull one car at a time until finally you've got one car, two cars, three cars, and you've moved them all. And once it's moving, of course, you can't stop it because everyone knows trains can't stop for beans.
Yeah.
Anyway, who's our winner?
The winner is Rick with one C.
Yeah.
Rick Johnson from Des Moines, Iowa, and for having his answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got. Rick is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. Yeah, no, it's not that exciting. Let you hear the rest. With which he can get a copy of our CD, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars, which, by the way, makes a great Father's Day gift, assuming the old man can take a joke, of course. If he can't take a joke, get him another tie like you did last year.
do we have Car Talk ties?
No, we should, though.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new, and I'm going to, this is a kind of a question that should be on the SATs,
oh,
I think.
Yeah.
And it's from the Bedouins in the Desert, Crossing the Desert series.
Yeah. This will be coming up. The second one in the series. You've only used it once.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Oh,
I have an excellent memory.
Anyway, that'll be coming up in the third half of the show today, so don't touch that dial. In the meantime, if you have a pressing question about your car or your personal life or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-272-7825. Hmm? Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Yeah.
This is Jennifer. I'm calling from New Cumberland, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jennifer. New Cumberland. What was the matter with the old Cumberland? No good?
I don't know. I'm not even sure there was an old Cumberland.
Probably not.
Well, there must have been some kind of strife, you figure?
I think so, maybe. Yeah, we're close to the city, so I'm sure it has something to do with river settlement. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, who knows? New Cumberland. Well, it's always good. A new beginning is always good.
It's always interesting to know what the source of these things
is. I should.
Is.
I really should.
You really should. You probably lived there all your life.
I have, actually.
That's why you never questioned it, because before you could even understand anything, your mother told you you were in New Cumberland, and you said, okay,
it's good enough.
Okay.
Well, you know, I had
friends
who visited from California a few years ago, and they had never really been east, and they said, you know, we'd like to see, like, Paul Revere's house and the Constitution, but we don't want to bore you because you've probably seen all these things. And I said, well, no, I haven't seen any of them.
Exactly, exactly.
But I got time because I live here. You know, eventually I'll get to them. Anyway, Jennifer, what can we do for you?
Well, okay, I was very excited. I had just paid off my last car, and so I went out and I got what I call the mom Volvo, which I got to remember my letters right, but I think it's like a V70 cross country.
Yeah, V70, yeah, XC.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very happy because, you know, I was doing this used and I felt like I was being very frugal and very proud of myself I was. And then since I've gotten it, it's been making a funny noise.
Ah.
And it's only doing it when I take my foot off of the brake and it makes this kind of like funny like air coming out of a balloon noise. I don't know. Do you guys want me to do the noise?
Oh, of course we do, because we need people to embarrass themselves for our 5 million other listeners.
Tell us exactly what the circumstances
are.
You step on the brake because you come to a stop,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to take your foot off the brake because you're going to start going.
Yeah, and as I'm taking, and it only does it every once in a while, by the way. It does it like sometimes at night, it gets really, really loud, and then other times you barely hear it. But when it's really, really loud, it does this. Thing.
That wasn't very good, Jennifer. We're going to have to ask you to do it again, maybe four or five times.
Okay.
Does it sound like almost like a hissing sound?
Yes, exactly. It sounds like a hiss with somebody, you know, kind of whistling behind it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And when you take your foot off the brake by any chance and it's doing this, does the engine run rough at all?
I haven't noticed that so much. There is no other sign, you know, and so I thought to myself, maybe this was a Volvo thing. Like, maybe that's what they do when you take your foot off the brake, but then
no.
It doesn't do it all the time.
It is not a Volvo thing.
No, I mean...
My question, too, is this going to cost me out the nose? Because it sounds like it could
be
very...
Yes, it is. How long have you had this thing?
Only a month.
Do you have some kind of a 90-day warranty?
Yes, I do.
Lucky you.
Oh, good.
Because I think what you need is a vacuum booster, which is the power brake booster.
A vacuum booster.
Yeah, and the power brake booster is a what it looks like to the casual observer is a couple of pie plates with their business ends facing each other and welded together. And the brake pedal is attached to one end of this thing, and the brake master cylinder at the other end. And basically, there's a big rubber diaphragm in there that uses engine vacuum to boost the pressure that you're applying to the brake pedal when you slow down. And that's where the power and power brakes comes from.
Yeah.
There's a hole someplace in this diaphragm, and that's causing this vacuum to leak. You know, vacuum isn't leaking out. What's happening is air is leaking in.
Okay,
so it may not get any worse for a long time, but the danger is, if you don't fix it, that you will lose your power brakes, or at the very least, the effectiveness of them will be diminished.
Yeah.
See, that's what I was going to ask, because I got it because I wanted it to be a secure mom car.
Yeah,
it will be.
The good news is, if you lose your brakes and you crash the thing, you'll have crashed one of the safest cars in the world.
Oh, well, thanks.
You know, so there's something to be said for that, and that should be comforting to you right there.
That warms my heart. It really
does. I know.
What warms my heart even more is that you said that I have a warranty, that's good.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I mean, if it happens with that kind of regularity, I'm guessing it happens worse on colder days,
yes,
too.
Yes, it does.
Ah.
Yeah.
So I would get it back to them before they forget what you look like.
Vacuum pump.
Power booster.
Power booster.
Brake power booster.
Brake power booster. Okay,
write
I'm
it down.
Ready. I'm good then.
Okay, if you forget that, for $29.95, you can get a tape of the show.
Oh, well, very good.
Send the whole tape. See you, Jen. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, can I read a letter?
Do whatever you want.
Well, it so happens that this letter is apropos.
Really? To what?
To what you started to do in the beginning of the show, with making up excuses for why I'm not around.
Oh, really?
Well, get this. On a recent trip... Who's this from? Robin Newberry. On a recent trip to Cambridge, I decided to make the pilgrimage to Car Talk Plaza. I had been in contact with Doug Mayer previous to my trip, who assured me that we would be welcome to drop by. So my wife and I, along with our kids, dropped by. When we arrived at your door, we were accosted in the hallway by an intense individual flashing a badge and demanding to see some ID. That would be crazy, Bob. As it turns out, there was actually only one hardworking employee in your office.
Had to have been Catherine.
Whose name is Catherine.
Oh, yes. She's the only
hard
worker on the staff.
Her rather lame excuse for being the only one in the office was everyone else had the day off. She told us that Tom was rumored to work out of another office somewhere in Boston.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't know where. And that Ray was hard at work at the garage. She graciously gave us directions so that we might at least meet Ray. After a short train ride and a long walk through some of the most dubious real estate I've ever set eyes on, we arrived at the garage where a very nice man explained to us that Ray was not there.
Tara Lipinski's tutu.
We slept back to Harvard Square on the train, ruminating on fate and existence. I've been thinking about this for a few days now, and I've come to the conclusion that you do not actually exist. At least not as we mortals understand existence. Somehow or another, the whole operation is pulled off by the one lone Car Talk employee, Catherine. Possibly with the assistance of that wacko next door. How exactly she does all of the voices while answering the phone and the mail is a puzzlement, but I'm sure computers are involved. That's it. Signed, Robin Newberry.
Well, that says it all.
So not only am I not there.
I'm not either, I guess.
You're not either. And neither and is neither. Berman.
Or Rogers.
Rogers. Ken Rogers.
Nobody's
Bugsy
there.
Lawler.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I want everyone to know that my brother, of course, has nothing to do during the day because we know he doesn't, what, work.
What I want to know is, who's Catherine?
Yo, who's Adisa Catherine?
Who's Adisa Catherine?
So because my brother doesn't work, he likes to read during the day to keep himself busy. So if you have something he can read, by all means, send it to him.
Yeah, send it to me at Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Massachusetts 02238.
Or that's... if you're too lazy to steal envelopes from the office, you can email him stuff from our website, cartalk.com.
Don't forget to do that. Yeah.
Now, if you want to talk to us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Bill from Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Hi, Bill.
What's up?
Well, my wife and I are cheap.
I'll let my brother deal with this then. I'll go for a sandwich.
We only buy used cars.
Yeah.
And we only buy cars. We try to only spend $700 on a car.
$700?
Yeah.
Jeez, you are cheap.
I like to think of this characteristic that you and I share as being intelligent rather than being cheap.
Right, and we great minds must stick together.
That's correct.
Well, there's a fine line there. I don't know what it is, but go ahead, Bill.
Okay, so there you are. You want to spend $700. I think that's a little low, but...
Well, we can go a little higher than that.
Good.
But that's what we aim for.
Yeah.
The problem is, for a hobby, we kind of like to go out looking at real estate. And you can see it when we drive up to the house. You know, you can see the agents in there fighting about who's going to be the one that has to show us the house.
Yeah.
Right. They know you guys are big spenders.
Yeah. Well, when
you look like the Beverly Hillbillies. There's a few rocking chairs in the back with the plucking the banjos. You'll be all set, man.
Well, you know, if you're really serious about a house, rent a car for the day or borrow somebody's car.
But we like to be taken seriously.
Oh. Well, you do. The other thing is that if the real estate brokers can't take a joke, you probably don't want to deal with them anyway. Recently, my brother was looking for a house, and every place that he went looking, he made sure that he brought not only his entire family, but me and my entire family, and a couple of neighbors with about 7 or 8 kids, and made it look like we were all going to move in.
What, they want to sell you, a barn?
No, we'd go to a little two-bedroom.
Two-bedroom bungalow. So go ahead. Are this real estate talk or car talk? What are we getting to?
What's the question?
I want to find a car that's still cheap, but makes us look eccentric instead of making us look cheap.
Ah, I got Citroen. The answer. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Citroën is the only thing.
Maybe a Karmann Ghia.
Pardon?
Maybe a Karmann Ghia or something like that.
Well, Karmann Ghia is a little on the smallish side.
Well, I'm not on the smallish side.
Yeah, so that's why you got to go Citroën.
Oh, yeah, you need a Citroën because it's no one where you are down there will know what it is because they never see any.
That's right.
You won't be able to get it fixed, but you won't care. When it breaks, you just get rid of it.
Now, what you have to do is only look at houses that are at the bottom of a hill. So you tow this baby up to the top of the hill, coast down the hill. They'll say, wow, what a quiet engine. You just pull right into the driveway. And then when you're leaving, you walk up the street and just leave it there and come back at night and pick it up.
And have it towed away.
Yeah,
that's it. So you need a Citroën, have it painted. Spend $500 for the car, $200 for a paint job, and it'll look great.
Now, what kind of car is this? Say it again.
Citroen.
Now, is it French?
It's of course what? French.
French.
And it is of course what? Weird.
Yes.
And it is of course what? Useless.
Useless.
But it certainly is unique, distinctive looking. And in fact, if you lived in France, it would be a great car. I almost bought one once.
Back up if it's got a high curb or something.
Pardon?
Yeah, you can drive right over the Andes with these babies, yeah. Yeah, these are great, yeah.
This will definitely serve your purpose. In fact, you might get 2 or 3 of them for $700.
Oh, yeah, and then you can just leave them there and take a cab.
That's it.
Well, thanks for your call, Bill.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
That's a great idea. It's a disposable.
Now, before we get to the new puzzler, we have to take a short break.
Ah, you're going to refine the new puzzler. That's it. You're going to go through and make sure all the little details are right. Subjected to that last rigorous test.
No, I'm going to get another donut. We'll be back in a minute.
I don't drive at all. That's the secret to life. I don't drive a car. No, I just ride a bike. I don't pay insurance and don't pay for gas. I don't buy big tires that aren't going to last. When I'm in the saddle, I'm flying first class because I
And even though Carl Castle starts unloading his entire NPR cufflink collection on eBay whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler from the Bedouins in the Desert series.
Yeah.
And actually, this was sent to me by Richard Nixon. Oh, Richard Nielsen, sorry. And I didn't really do too many obfuscations. And what did I call it? Unclarifications.
Unclarify, yeah. You have to unclarify things.
Two Bedouins were once traveling across the desert to a distant village. And in the middle of the day, they sat down to eat the loaves of bread that they had brought with them for lunch. One of them had 5 loaves and the other had 3, making a total of what?
7.5.
8. Just as they were ready to eat, a stranger comes along and asks if he might share their meal. Mm-hmm. He said he had plenty of money, but no food. The two agree to divide their loaves equally among the 3 of them.
Oh, gee, I knew this was going to happen. as soon as you said the numbers 8 and 3, I said, oh, no, stop it.
Well, all right, the 2 of them told him to get lost.
Take his money and get the heck out of here.
But there's a Burger King about a mile up the road. After the meal was finished, the stranger laid down 8 coins of equal value for what he had eaten, and he went away. The traveler who had 5 loaves took up 5 coins and left 3 for the other guy. But he disputed it, saying that, look, we shared it. We should each get 4 coins. Since they could not agree, they called in a magistrate.
Ooh.
This is big doings, man. They're down to their last 8 loaves of bread.
And let me get this. They're out in the middle of the desert, and there happens to be a wandering magistrate go by?
They called it a magistrate strike.
It happens.
They did. They called him in, and he listened to the story and then figured out who should get what.
Oh.
So is the first guy right? Is the second guy right? Or is neither
of them
right? If you know the fair way to divide up the money, drop us a line.
Wow.
Write it on a postcard, or better still, on a 54-centimeter Trek road bike in bright silver with OCLV 110 carbon frame, Shimano Dura-Ace component group, and titanium and leather-covered saddle, and ride it over to Puzzler Tower. Car Talk Plaza. Someone's hoping to do a little mountain biking this summer.
Let's guess who that might be.
Car Talk Plaza. Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fifth city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com.
I tell you, the guys from Thomas Moser who sent us this sleigh bed, they have started something that we're not going to...
Yeah. It's going to get ugly. Anyway, if you have a question about your car, or as I've mentioned many times before, but we don't get much response, anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
My name is Kevin, and I live in Austin, Texas.
Huh? What's that?
I said my name is Kevin, and I live in Austin, Texas.
I don't believe the Austin, Texas part.
Oh, okay.
I believe the Austin part. I don't believe the Texas part. Kevin, huh?
Yes.
Isn't that a rather unusual name? You sound like a woman.
I am a woman.
You are?
Yes.
Are you a real woman?
I didn't have a sex change operation or
anything. You didn't? No,
that's what we were trying to ascertain.
I was going to say, how long have you been a woman?
38 and a half years.
38 and a half years.
And how, pray tell, did you wind up with a name like Kevin?
Well, my parents thought it was a great name for a girl, and it meant benevolence.
Benevolence?
Yes, so they changed it to C-E-V-I-N.
Oh, so they could call you Seven.
Well, yeah.
But her other sister is named 6 and a half, so they don't want to confuse anybody. C-E-V-I-N, Kevin.
Correct.
Do you have siblings?
Yes, I do.
What are their names?
Oh, gosh.
All right, let's hear them.
Okay, Ed, but he's the third.
But he's a girl, too.
He's a girl.
He got a normal name. And then I have a brother named Brown, as in the color.
Yeah.
And a sister named Selman Hagen.
Jesus. I had that once. I had bad eggs. Oh, no, that's salmonella. Salmonhagen?
Salmonhagen,
where is that?
Yes.
Is that in Denmark?
That, it's my grandmother's maiden names put together. We just call her Boozy, though.
Boozy.
Mm-hmm.
So Ed Brown.
Boozy.
Boozy.
And Kevin.
And Kevin.
So, but this is interesting because you were born prior to the real wacko hippie movement.
Yes.
So your parents must have been
smoking a lot of dope even then.
They must have been way ahead of the curve in the wacko hippie times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very interesting. Are they as wacky now as they were then?
Wackier.
Well,
so
that's
you
good.
Do get wackier as you get older. I've noticed that with my parents.
Oh, my God.
They get
and your
wackier.
Kids have noticed it with you.
Yes.
Huh?
Your kids, Thomas. Anyway, Kevin.
Yes.
Who?
Do you have a question?
Oh, yeah.
What is it? It's already been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you. It's
You've changed my life.
Well, I have a 1987 Volkswagen Golf.
Okay, an 87 Golf.
Back in March, I was driving out into the country, and my oil pressure light came on very briefly.
Did the buzzer go off?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very obnoxious.
Yeah.
So I pulled off, checked the oil. Everything seemed fine. It was running fine. Huh. So I decided, well, I'll just drive back.
And I'll just drive back.
Take
sure.
it easy. Nothing happened.
Oh, when did it go off? On the trip back?
Oh, no, it only came on for a brief moment.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and then went off.
Gotcha.
Okay, and then I had it checked out. They said nothing's wrong. And it went off again about a month later, this time for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
So it gradually increased in duration, and now it takes me about a half a block. I can go a half a block, and it comes on and stays on.
Yeah.
I've taken it in. The mechanic said, I can't find anything wrong with this car. The compression's great. It runs great. So I told him to disconnect it. And so they disconnected it, and I got it back, and it still comes on.
Oh, they supposedly disconnected the buzzer.
Yes.
No, some of those buzzers have a separate unit under the dash, which is very hard to find. And some of them are built into the instrument cluster, I think.
Okay.
And he'll never disconnect that one because you'd need to fire on it with like an Uzi.
Oh, no.
However, I would go back and suggest that you do have something wrong. I don't think he's done an oil pressure test.
Yeah, I mean, when he said, I can't find anything wrong, and then he mentions that the compression is great.
Maybe he meant oil pressure.
Did he say compression or pressure?
I think he said pressure.
Ah.
He checked everything out, but he did check the oil pressure.
This car has two switches. It has one to read low pressure, and it has one to read excessively high pressure. When the buzzer first went off.
How fast were you going?
Yeah, were you going at high speed?
Yes, I was.
And did he change the switches? He should have changed both of them.
I don't know.
He should change the two oil switches.
Okay.
And then he should make a concerted effort to relocate the buzzer unit.
Yeah,
it could be that unit is faulty, too. And it's responding to a signal erroneously.
Well, I used to be able to get it to go off if I shifted down.
Ah.
If you made it rev higher.
Rev higher.
Yes.
So
that would indicate you have low oil pressure.
Okay.
I would take it back to him and have him really check the oil pressure.
I wouldn't take it back to him. I'd take it to someone else.
I would too.
Have the oil pressure test done. There's a spec in the book which tells you what it should be hot, what it should be at so many thousands of RPM, and make sure it falls within specifications. If it doesn't, you may need a new oil pump.
Okay. Yeah.
And the other thing, make sure the dipstick isn't overfilled. If it's overfilled, you can get foaming of the oil.
Oh, okay.
So you may have already ruined the engine by having it overfilled repeatedly by this other guy.
Okay.
But I wouldn't worry about that.
Okay.
Take it to someone else, and Kevin, and have them just really check things out.
Okay, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well,
indeed.
It's been a pleasure talking to you all.
See you, Kevin.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Sash. I'm calling you from Quincy, Massachusetts.
Sash, Quincy, I know where that is.
You?
It's right up the road a piece.
Oh, you guys are in Cambridge, right?
Now, Sash is S-A-S-C-H?
No, S-A-S-H-A.
Oh, Sasha. Oh, you did say that.
Oh, I thought you said Sash.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right, we got all that straightened out. What's up?
Okay, well, my girlfriend has a Dodge Aries 1983.
Notice it's always somebody else's car. Whenever it's a Dodge Aries, it's always my girlfriend, my brother-in-law, It's always somebody else that has a Dodge Aries. Nobody wants to admit.
Okay.
All right, it's your girlfriend. We'll accept that.
Okay, well, I was, actually, my girlfriend and I were driving up to Maine, and the car has a small radiator problem because it just leaks a little, and every couple of weeks we had to fill it up again. So we went up to Maine that one time, and the car's radiator was leaking really bad by the time I got up there. And my girlfriend's sister's boyfriend said that his father had a garage, and one time this guy came in with a leaky radiator, and he was just about to go on a West Coast trip. And he said, well, look, what can you do about it? And the guy said, well, besides putting in a new radiator, I can suggest this.
Black pepper.
Yeah, black pepper and eggs.
Eggs!
Eggs.
These are the whole eggs or just the whites?
No, the whole egg. They poach right there in the radiator.
Yeah, and he said it worked all the way to the West Coast and back without springing a leak. So I guess upon hearing this, my girlfriend and we don't really know that much about cars. And we said, well, why not?
But you hightailed it right over to the supermarket.
Well, my girlfriend's sister had some eggs in the house, so
yeah.
She just passed them through the window, and the guy just cracked them open and put them right in the radiator. and then he put some pepper inside.
No salt. No salt.
No salt. That,
we were hoping
bad for your blood
bacon,
pressure.
But he didn't oblige.
Did it work?
How many eggs?
It worked. Two eggs.
Two eggs. So I guess if you had an eight cylinder, you'd use four eggs.
Yeah.
Right?
Or half a dozen.
Half an egg per cylinder.
Yeah,
let me write this down. Half an egg per cylinder. Okay.
Now, did he? Let me get this right. Did he scramble the eggs first, or were they just cracked and put in like you would make poached eggs?
No, he didn't even scramble them.
Did he crack them, or did he put the shell and all in? I suppose the whole egg, that would stop it from leaking. So Sasha, don't keep us in suspense. Did it work or didn't it?
Well, he put him in, and it worked for a while. I mean, we drove all the way from Portland, Maine to Back Bay, Boston.
Yeah.
And it worked fine. And then after that, it worked fine for at least a month before I had to put in some more eggs.
Did you get, like, feathers coming out of the tailpipe or anything?
No, it was fine. It wasn't leaking at all because I was using it every day and I was checking the levels. So it was working fine, but I didn't put any more pepper because it sort of smelled bad when I put it in.
Yeah.
I mean, the egg smelled real good. It made me hungry.
And they say eggs are bad for your clogged arteries.
You may have a new eggs presto and you have a new dish.
Better than eggs Benedict.
Better than eggs presto.
Eggs presto.
So now, all told now, how many eggs have you put in this thing?
Well, at the last point that it worked, we had about maybe eight eggs in there.
Yeah. And then what happened?
What happened?
Disaster?
Well, I was driving along, and it was a really hot day, and I guess I didn't know it, but the temperature gauge wasn't working in the car.
Just as well, maybe.
The car was overheating, and the water was leaking out, and I didn't know it. And the car just started smoking, and I pulled over into a parking lot, and it just died there.
Yeah. Oh.
And
that's the end of that car.
Yeah, well, the thing is, my friend, he told me he can get me a good used radiator, real cheap. So I'm wondering if it's worth it to put it in.
Well, does the engine still run, or is it the engine dead?
It wouldn't start.
It wouldn't start. I would guess that the engine is cooked.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say.
Along with the eggs.
Yeah, I would say the engine's cooked. I mean, I've never heard of this particular home remedy, although I have heard of black pepper working, but personally I've never tried it. But I have heard that it works. The eggs.
Were these free-range eggs?
The eggs are certainly a new twist.
They are. Boy, that's a new one on me.
A new twist. But it runs into money. What does a dozen eggs go for? It's got to be at least a buck and a quarter, right, for a dozen eggs?
Yeah,
but look, the two-thirds of a dozen has lasted them 6 months here.
Yeah, and I guess at some point the hole gets so big that, you know, you really have to put hard-boiled eggs in there to plug it up. So it isn't the fault of the eggs. Maybe the remedy is good for small leaks. You know, and it's certainly, I'm going to try one of my brother's engines as soon as we leave the studio.
Oh, that's the other thing. I had my friend try it, too, and he had a small leak, and it worked for him.
It really did, huh?
Boy.
He has a.
You opened a whole new world of auto repair for us.
And cooking too.
And cooking eggs Prestone.
Sasha, it has been a pleasure. I can't tell you what a pleasure it has been talking to you and hearing this story. This is certainly among the best.
Okay.
And I would certainly shop not only for a new radiator, but for a new engine. And maybe for $500 you can get this thing back on the road again.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, Frogman,
Pumpkin Lips
Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Burmese, canned peas, cottage cheese, iced teas, and takeout Cantonese taste teas, is John Pugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Dugley. Our physical therapist is Estelle Hertz. Our caffeine addiction counselor is Bruno Moore. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Alban Heard Before. Our parts inventory manager is Wayne DeBack. Our sidewalk clothing vendor is Chip Pence. Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. Our big band leader is One and a Two. Our staff tailor is Hugh Jass. Our Russian chauffeur is Peacock and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey. Known to the... They're going to throw us off the air. Known to the art history grads selling macrame pot holders in Harvard Square as is Hugh Lewis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Our staff tailor, Hugh Jess. Why didn't we think of him before? We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1420, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a topic on which many would say I'm one of the nation's leading experts.
Oh, beard-based food storage?
No, how to keep your car running forever.
I suppose so. These days, a lot of folks are planning to hold on to their cars an extra year or two.
Or 10.
So we've written up our best advice on keeping your car running long-term.
Rule number one. Never let my brother work on it.
Or let my brother live in it.
How to keep your car running forever. Our best advice available all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Godzilla demolishes the nearest radio tower whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.